Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host, Phil Smith, a.k.a. Phil the Filipino. And welcome to a brand new episode of My Dark Cryptid Fantasy, which is one of my specialty series in which I get to talk about things such as the paranormal, aliens, conspiracy theories, or, as you can see in the title of this series, cryptids. Now, if you're not necessarily familiar with what a cryptid is, it's essentially a creature that traditional science doesn't really recognize as a real animal or thing, but has a ton of either legend or folklore or stories surrounding it. And I love talking about cryptids, and that's why this series is long overdue. I think the last one I did was back in like August of last year. And for that episode, I did the Aswang, which is a creature from Filipino folklore. And it is one of my favorite episodes that I've done. It's a really, really great one. You should check that out too. But if you're brand new to the podcast and this isn't necessarily what you were looking for, don't worry. Make sure to check out the rest of our library. I promise there's something here for everybody. And for all of you returning listeners, welcome back. Thank you guys so much for joining us. If you haven't yet, make sure to check out Eric and I's spoiler-free review of the Uncharted film that came out just a couple of days ago on Monday. And by the time this episode comes out, our live stream over on YouTube of the Peacemaker show will also be available to stream if you want to check that out as well. I'll make sure that is linked in the show notes. But with that out of the way, everybody, let's go ahead and get directly into the episode. And as you can see in the title, we are going to be talking about the Wendigo. Now, the Wendigo is a creature that could also very easily fit into my other series, which is the Amityville Horror, because it does kind of live in that realm between cryptid as well as, you know, just a horror icon. For the uninitiated, the Wendigo is a mythological creature or evil spirit which originates from the folklore of First Nations based in and around the East Coast Forest of Canada, the Great Plains region of the United States, and the Great Lakes region of the United States and Canada. The Wendigo is often said to be a malevolent spirit, sometimes depicted as a creature with human-like characteristics which possesses human beings. The Wendigo is known to invoke feelings of insatiable greed and hunger, the desire to cannibalize other humans, as well as the propensity to commit murder in those that fall under its influence. Descriptions of the Wendigo can vary depending on tribal influence. For example, the Algonquin legend describes the creature as a giant with a heart of ice. Sometimes it is thought to be entirely made of ice. Its body is skeletal and deformed with missing lips and toes. The Ojibwa describe it as a large creature as tall as a tree with a lipless mouth and jagged teeth. Its breath has a strange hiss, its footprints full of blood, and it eats any man, woman, or child who ventures into its territory. Sometimes the Wendigo chooses to possess a person instead, and then the luckless individual becomes a Wendigo themselves, hunting down those they had once loved and feasting upon their flesh. According to the legends, a Wendigo is created whenever a human resorts to cannibalism to survive. This occurred more often when Native Americans and settlers found themselves stranded in the bitter snows and ice of the North Woods. Sometimes stranded for days, any survivors might have felt compelled to cannibalize the dead to survive. Other versions of the legend cite that humans who displayed extreme greed, gluttony, and excess might also be possessed by a Wendigo. Thus, the myth served as a method of encouraging cooperation and moderation. Native American versions of the creature spoke of a gigantic spirit over 15 feet tall that had once been human but had been transformed into a creature by magic. Though all of the descriptions of the creature vary slightly, the Wendigo is generally said to have glowing eyes, long yellowed fangs, terrible claws, and overly long tongues. Tongues, plural, which is gross. Sometimes they are described as having yellowish skin, and other times they are covered with matted hair. The creature is said to have several skills and powers, including stealth, is a near-perfect hunter, knows and uses every inch of its territory, and can control the weather through dark magic. They are also portrayed as simultaneously gluttonous and emaciated from starvation. The legend actually lends its name to the disputed modern medical term, Wendigo psychosis. Some psychiatrists consider it a syndrome that creates an intense craving for human flesh and a fear of becoming a cannibal. Ironically, the psychosis occurs with people living around the Great Lakes of Canada and the United States. Wendigo psychosis usually develops in the winter in individuals who are isolated by heavy snow for long periods. The initial symptoms are poor appetite, nausea, and vomiting. Subsequently, the individual develops a delusion of being transformed into a Wendigo monster. People who have Wendigo psychosis increasingly see others around them as being edible. At the same time, they have an exaggerated fear of becoming cannibals. Here are a few early documented cases of Wendigo psychosis. A 1661 Jesuit relations document stated, quote, "What caused us greater concern was the intelligence that met us upon entering the lake, namely, that the men deputed by our conductor to summon the nations to the North Sea and assigning them a rendezvous where they were to await our coming had met their death the previous winter in a very strange manner. Those poor men, according to the report given us, were seized with an ailment unknown to us, but not very unusual among the people we were seeking. They are afflicted with neither lunacy, hypochondria, nor frenzy, but have a combination of all these species of disease, which affects their imaginations and causes them a more than canine hunger. This makes them so ravenous for human flesh that they pounce upon women, children, and even upon men like veritable werewolves, and devour them voraciously without being able to appease or glut their appetite, ever seeking fresh prey, and the more greedily, the more they eat. This ailment attacked our deputies, and as death is the sole remedy among those people for checking such acts of murder, they were slain in order to stay the course of their madness." Another documented case occurred in 1878 when a Plains Cree trapper from Alberta named Swift Runner suffered one of the worst cases known. Swift Runner was a trader with the Hudson's Bay Company who was married and the father of six children. During the winter of 1878 and 79, Swift Runner and his family were starving along with numerous other Cree families. His eldest son was the first to die of starvation, and at some point, Swift Runner succumbed to Wendigo psychosis. Though emergency food supplies were available at Hudson's Bay Company Post, some 25 miles away, he did not attempt to travel there. Instead, he killed the remaining members of his family and consumed them. He eventually confessed and was executed by authorities at Fort Saskatchewan. The frequency of Wendigo psychosis cases decreased sharply in the 20th century as the Native Americans came into greater and greater contact with Western ideologies. However, Wendigo creature sightings are still reported, especially in northern Ontario near the Cave of the Wendigo, and around Kenora, where traders, trackers, and trappers have allegedly spotted it for decades. Many still believe that the Wendigo roams the woods and the prairies of northern Minnesota and Canada. Many have actually given Kenora, Ontario, Canada, the title of Wendigo Capital of the World, and sightings of the creature in this area have continued well into the new millennium. In addition to being depicted as a cannibalistic monster from certain traditional folklore, some Native Americans also understand the Wendigo conceptually. As a concept, the Wendigo can apply to any person, idea, or movement infected by a corrosive drive towards self-aggrandizing greed and excessive consumption, traits that sow disharmony and destruction if left unchecked. Ojibwe scholar Brandy DeSanti asserts that the Wendigo, quote, "can be understood as a marker indicating a person imbalanced both internally and toward the larger community of human and spiritual beings around them." In addition to characterizing individual people who exhibit destructive tendencies, the Wendigo can also describe movements and events with similarly negative effects. According to Professor Chris Shedler, the figure of the Wendigo represents consuming forms of exclusion and assimilation through which groups dominate other groups. He would continue to say, "This application allows Native Americans to describe colonialism and its agents as Wendigos, since the process of colonialism ejected natives from their land and threw the natural world out of balance." DeSanti points to the 1999 horror film Ravenous as an illustration of this argument, equating the cannibal monster to American colonialism and manifest destiny. This movie features a character who articulates that expansion brings displacement and destruction as side effects, explaining that manifest destiny and Western expansion will bring, quote, "thousands of gold-hungry Americans over the mountains in search of new lives. This country is seeking to be whole, stretching out its arms and consuming all it can, and we merely follow." As a concept, the Wendigo can also apply to situations other than some Native American-European relations. It can serve as a metaphor explaining any pattern of domination by which groups subjugate and dominate or violently destroy and displace. Joe Lockhart, who is an English professor at Arizona State University, argues that Wendigos are agents of social cannibalism who know no provincial or national borders. All human cultures have been visited by shape-shifting Wendigos. Their visitations speak to the inseparability of human existence. National identity is irrelevant to this borderless horror. Lockhart's ideas explain that the Wendigos are an expression of a dark aspect of human nature, the drive toward greed, consumption, and disregard for other life in the pursuit of self-aggrandizement. So it seems, as a concept, Wendigos actually exist everywhere, which is kind of terrifying in and of itself. The Wendigo has made appearances in all sorts of pop culture platforms, from the big screen to video games. A character inspired by the Wendigo appears in Marvel Comics, created by the writer Steve Englehart and artist Herb Trimpe. The monster is the result of a curse that afflicts those who commit acts of cannibalism. It first appeared in April 1973 in The Incredible Hulk number 162, and once again in an October 1974 issue. TV appearances include shows such as Teen Wolf, Supernatural, Charmed, and Hannibal, which coincidentally, Eric and I have talked about Hannibal in a previous episode of Netflix and Phil, so you should definitely check that out as well. The 2015 horror game Until Dawn features Wendigos as the primary antagonist, and say what you want about Until Dawn, it's definitely really cheesy, but it's also the type of stupid fun we should have more of in video games. I would suggest actually getting some friends together and playing it, and then you guys can make the choices for the characters together. It's a fun time. You can also find Wendigos in Fallout 76, but that's not a fun time, and I wouldn't recommend that at all. Now, to wrap up this episode, I'll actually be telling a couple of first-hand encounter stories that I was able to locate on Reddit. This first story comes from user UDevoirESA. Yeah, we'll go with that. I live in the northern part of Michigan, and I used to live with my ex-boyfriend's family, and they've always believed in things like the Wendigo, as they are native and also lived on native lands. I never really believed them until one night I saw one. My ex and I were driving back from a party in the next town over, and we finally got to the road his house was on, which is a dead end. We were probably 150 feet away from the end of the road when I spotted what I thought was a deer. I got excited because I love deer, but when we got closer, about 50 feet away, I could see that it was not what I thought. It was about 7 feet tall, standing on its hind legs. Its head looked larger and its snout stretched. The fur was matted and chunks of it was missing. You could see its rib cage because it was so skinny. And it almost had human hands with claws a foot long. But the most terrifying thing about it was the way it turned its head and looked at us. Its eyes beamed a bright yellow from the headlights hitting them, and it just stood there looking at us. I felt my whole body go cold as this thing stared at us. I couldn't move or look away. The only thing I could say was, "What the fuck is that?" My ex eventually snapped out of it and put the Jeep into reverse all the way back out of his road. We drove 70 back to town where we came from. We ended up meeting up with my best friend, and I was telling her I had seen something absolutely terrifying out by the house. And before I could explain what I saw, she explained it to a T, saying that she's seen one passing the road we've lived on before. That really solidified what my ex and I had seen was real. Living out there after that, we would only hear it running around the house, and we would see its eyes from the tree line. Since then, I've moved on, and I have not been back to that town since. This last story will be from Reddit user BuddyTube. I was hunting in a rural part of southwest Michigan with my uncle. The area was a big clearing with trees all around it. You could see clearly across the whole thing. We were sitting on one end of the clearing, just inside the tree line. It was still clear daylight when we started hearing strange sounds, like a howling or crying of an animal. We wrote it off as coyotes, but I thought it was strange since you rarely hear them during the day. After an hour or two of sitting there, the sun was just getting low and I saw trees rustling across the field. My uncle had fallen asleep in his hunting chair next to me, but I was awake and alert. I saw a large figure moving slowly through the trees. It was as tall as the trees around it, so I would guess about 15 feet or more. Once it got to a spot with thinner trees, I got a good look at it. It walked upright and had long, thin arms that nearly drug on the ground as it walked. Its skin was a dark gray and its face was a dirty white. Its face resembled that of a deer, but it was mostly skull with little flesh on it, and it had two huge antlers on its head. It didn't seem to notice us as it walked from one side of the clearing to the other. I watched silently and observed as it went. I wasn't scared, just fascinated. I thought about waking my uncle to see if I was really seeing this, but I didn't want to make any noise that would cause it to notice us. So I just watched as it disappeared through the trees on the other side. The issue that I later realized was the path back to the truck was directly through those same woods it had just went into. So once it was dark, I woke up my uncle and we pulled out our headlamps and started our trek out of the woods. I was kind of paranoid at this point because of my encounter earlier in the day. The walk back seemed to be uneventful until we had almost made it completely out and back to the truck. We were both walking along the narrow path when we heard a young girl's voice say, "Do you want to play?" I knew we heard it too because we both stopped walking and just looked at each other. We then ran the rest of the way to the truck and drove home very spooked. I never told him what I saw when he was asleep because I thought he would think I was crazy. He claimed that the voice was probably a person in the area, but there weren't any houses near enough. Also, the voice sounded very close to us. I never connected the two experiences that night until I did some research later on and found out that Wendigos can mimic voices. We still hunt in those same woods frequently, and I haven't seen anything strange since. But there you have it, everybody. So whether you believe in the Wendigo as an actual physical creature or maybe just a manifestation of the worst traits that a human being can have. It's certainly a very interesting cryptid, and that's why I was excited to talk to you guys about it. All links to my sources will be included in the show notes. I got a lot of the information from legendsofamerica.com, so shout out to them for having such detailed information about the creature. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Just as a reminder, you can find us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, literally anywhere else you find your shows. Shout out to Buzzsprout, as always, for hosting the Wait For It podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. Again, make sure to check out the show notes for a link to our YouTube page, which has all of our live streams, including the one we did last night. You can also follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Wait For It Podcast, and on Twitter at Wait For It Pod. Thank you all so much for joining me for another episode of my Dark Cryptid Fantasy. I hope you're enjoying this series. I'm your co-host, Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. And do not forget, we release new episodes every Monday and Wednesday. And all you gotta do is wait for it.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah, they've got you covered.
And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.